Man, amen, amen. How we doing out there this morning? Come on. You got to make some more noise for me than that. How we doing out there? I'm hyped this morning. So it's just like every other Sunday morning if you're used to being around here at True North Church. So I got a question as we get started this morning. What do bathroom towels, gym socks, and middle school boys all have in common? They all need a refresh on a regular basis. Can I get an amen? Any middle school parents out there or have had middle school students or kids? Yeah, I got some boys who are about to be in middle school here real soon. And it is, I'll tell you what, maybe it's been too long for me. I don't remember those days. But dang, trying to get some middle school boys to take a shower is fun times. It's good times. I think about just our humanness, right? Many of us, I think there's a point where we have to be taught, right? I'm trying to teach my boys right now. Hey, guys, you got to take a shower every day. Because if you don't take a shower every day, you stink. Like, you're going to stink. And the ladies aren't going to like you, which honestly, at this point, maybe would be a good thing. So maybe I should be telling them not to take showers for a while, right? But you're going to drive people away with that stench, right? It's not good. You don't want that, right? You got to refresh your bathroom towels every now and again. You should be changing your socks every day, right? Right? Yeah, right. Okay, good. We're all on the same page with that, right? But here's the thing. As much as it's important to kind of do a refresh on the physical side of things, I believe it's far more important to be getting refreshed in here on a daily basis. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah, we need a refresh inside of our hearts, inside of our spirits. I know I do because there are a lot of days, there are a lot of weeks, there are a lot of months, years sometimes. Man, it's hard. Life is hard, right? And my soul begins to get downtrodden. And I need this refreshment, right? And what do most of us do? Here's the problem for most of us. We go looking for refreshment in all the wrong places. We go looking for refreshment in something that's not really going to get the job done. And so today we're continuing in a series that we're calling Songs in the Key of Praise. We're looking at some of these amazing psalms found right in the center of our Bibles. And what we've talked about over the last couple of weeks is that these songs, these amazing worship songs that were written by God's people thousands of years ago, man, they have so much power for our lives today. They can encourage us in ways that nothing else in this world can. And I believe as we dive into here, week four, they have the power to refresh our soul, to refresh our spirit in a way that nothing else in this world can. I don't know about you, but like I'm looking for a refreshment that lasts forever. You know what bothers me more than anything? Every Christmas in my stocking, I get air fresheners for my car. I put the air fresheners in and it's like, oh, it's amazing. My car smells so good until about January 3rd. And those things wear out, like, immediately. Like, I don't know, like, how air freshener companies are staying in business with how poor the quality is of how long they last, right? Today, we're going to talk about a refreshment that is nothing like that, that is eternal and permanent and will give you refreshment day after day after day if you will allow it to. So we're going to be in Psalm 23 today. I encourage you to open your Bibles with us this morning. This may be the most beloved and most read and most famous psalm that has ever been written. This psalm was written by David. Last week, if you remember, we looked at another psalm that David wrote, Psalm 13. And I encourage you, and this might be your first time joining with us today, or maybe you just started coming to True North, go and subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our podcast. Make sure whenever we're in a series, man, the series usually builds on itself. So I want to encourage you to go to those channels, those outlets. Make sure you catch up on the past messages. So last week we looked at this psalm, Psalm 13, written by David, who wrote more than half of the psalms. And if you remember from last week, David was in a really low place. I mean, the lowest of the low. In a lot of ways, when I look at the psalm that David wrote in Psalm 13, he's very much a different man than the psalm we're going to read here in Psalm 23. There's a maturity that has happened in David's life as we enter into Psalm 23. He's in a better place. And in this psalm, what he's remembering are the days of his youth. If you didn't know, David is a shepherd or was a shepherd. That's how he began his life, right? That's the first time we are introduced to David. He's out in the field. He's shepherding his father's flock. And in this psalm, he's remembering those days. And so I think that context is so important as we begin to dive in to this psalm. So I just want to begin by reading the entire thing. It's only six verses, but man, this psalm is so rich. It is so full of wisdom for our lives that today we're actually going to break this psalm into two parts. This is part one this week. Next week, we're going to do part two. So we're not even going to get through three verses today. It's going to be about 2.25 verses we're going to actually study out, but I want to read the whole thing. This is what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And so I want to break this down today. The very first thing we want to look at is just a few simple words, five words. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is really the key to this entire psalm. This is the foundation for everything else that we're going to study out in this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, right? What is David's understanding of his heavenly father? That he is both Lord and he is shepherd, right? Our God is both our king, but he is also our shepherd. And this is such an important viewpoint and perspective and understanding that we need to take. We need to take this posture just like David does, right? We are sheep. David understands this. We are dumb. Sheep are really dumb. I don't want to get too up in your grill this morning, but you dumb, okay? Let's just be honest. I am dumb. We are not smart sometimes. We do really foolish things. David begins by saying, I need a shepherd and I recognize who my shepherd is. What I love so much about this is he says, the Lord is my shepherd. When you think of a Lord, what do you think of? Right, you think of someone who sits on high, right? The king of the castle, sitting in the throne room above all of the people, lording over the people. And at the end of the day, our God is that. He absolutely is. He is our king. He is our Lord. He is the ultimate authority over our life. But at the same time, come on, don't miss this morning. He is also our shepherd. When you think about what a shepherd is, it's a totally different being, if you will, than a lord or a king. Right? The shepherds were the lowest of the low. They hung out with dirty, smelly, stupid sheep all day long. They were the exact opposite of a king. And yet this is who our king is. Our king lowers himself to the position of servant shepherd for our good. Like, we could just stop there. We could stop right there today and be done with this message. If that was all we took out of this, we have an amazing God, an amazing King and Lord who spoke the world into existence and has all authority over us. And yet, what does he do? He makes himself our shepherd. He tends to his sheep. He tends to his flock. He cares for us so very deeply. And we're going to see exactly what that looks like, how this shepherd, this great king, cares for us. I love the personal language that David uses here. He doesn't just say the Lord is a shepherd, does he? What does he say? He says the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. There's an intimacy that there is between David and his heavenly father, right? In the same way that the sheep know their shepherd, they know the shepherd's voice. They know the shepherd's leading. David's like, this is, there's a deep relationship. There's a deep connection here between my Lord, who is also my shepherd, right? He is a good shepherd who bears all responsibility for his sheep. That's what a good shepherd does, right? Before a shepherd can even have sheep, what does a shepherd have to do? It's to purchase those sheep. They have to come from somewhere, right? And so there's this purchasing that happens, right? If you think about actual shepherds, they purchase the sheep, and then what do? They tend to them. They care for them. They do this hard work of protecting them. And as they do that, here's what happens. A tremendous freedom begins to come to those sheep as they recognize, I'm tended for. I'm cared for here. I don't have to worry about my needs. I know that my shepherd is going to lead me to good things. We're going to talk about what some of those good things are that the shepherd does for us. Right? We've been purchased at a high price by our Savior, Jesus. And when something is purchased at a high price, let me tell you something. You value that thing, do you not? Come on now, you know. Right? You buy a house, you buy an expensive car, you buy an expensive instrument. What do? You take care of that thing, right? Because you spent a lot of money on it, it has a lot of value. In the same way, we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our shepherd. We have been purchased at an incredibly high price. And therefore, we are incredibly valuable to him. And that brings so much freedom to our life. Knowing that, understanding that, right? In the same way that a shepherd cares for their sheep, Jesus does the same for us. Even though we are dumb and stubborn. And that brings hope to me. Because I'm really dumb and really stubborn a lot of days. I'm so thankful that I have a shepherd that does that for me. And so he goes on, because the Lord is my shepherd. Number one, he says, I lack nothing. I lack nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. Right? Another translation of this says, I shall not want. So it goes beyond just not needing anything. It actually moves into a realm of, I desire nothing. There's nothing in this life that I want or desire because I have everything I could have ever wanted or desired in Jesus Christ in my relationship with him. He is all I need. My shepherd is all I need. Right, I think we all inherently know this, but there's no greater joy, is there, in life than being in a complete place of contentment? I mean, I think about just some of the moments in my life. Like, this is simple, but for me, like, this is glorious. Thanksgiving's coming up, right? You have your Thanksgiving meal, you eat the turkey, you get the tetra hypo chandramine, whatever it is, I don't know. Whatever the technical term is for it. And you lay down on that couch after that Thanksgiving meal, and you don't have to go to work that day, and your belly's full. And you just lay down and you're just like, oh, yeah. And then your kids start screaming and wake you up from your nap. But for that 5 seconds that you laid there, it was just like this complete contentment, right? We've all been there. We all know where that place is for us, wherever it happens to be for you. And I don't have a care in the world. I don't have a desire. I don't need anything. I don't want anything, right? That is an amazing, beautiful place to be. And for those who have this good shepherd, for those of us who have Jesus, this is what David is saying. This should be the hallmark of someone who's put their life in the hands of God, in the hands of that shepherd, should be a lack of want, a lack of need for anything, right? And yet, here's what kills me and burdens me. When I look at the world around us, Christians included, that's not what I see. Like, we are, most of us, in comparison at least to the rest of the world, we are unbelievably affluent. We have so much here in this country. And yet that has not translated to peace or joy or contentment in any way, has it? Right? I think we can all admit that, right? We know that it hasn't. Jesus is offering that to us here. He's offering to lead us into a place where we lack nothing and we want nothing. And yet here's what we are. We're fence hoppers. So shepherds oftentimes will have a few sheep that no matter how lush and green and beautiful the pasture is that they are in, they're always looking on the other side of the fence. And they're trying to find a tiny little crevice or hole to get through. They're looking for a way to go around and outside of the fence to get to the other side because there might be something on the other side that fulfills me more than what's on this side of the fence. Guys, I can tell you this right now. There's not. Because the pasture that our shepherd has prepared for us provides more than we could ever possibly imagine and more than we will ever find outside of it. Today, church, we are discontent, many of us, simply because we are looking on the other side of the fence for something to fill us that will never fill us. Jesus is offering something better, right? The Christian can say, a Jesus follower can say, I lack nothing because my shepherd, he is in complete control. He is in complete control of where I rest and live and move and breathe and eat and sleep. And he sleeps with one eye open. Like, I don't have to worry about predators. I don't have to worry about whether there's enough food. He's cultivated that. This is what our good shepherd does for us. We don't have to worry about lacking anything when we are following our shepherd. Not only that, he says this, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, I did some studying. I read a book by a guy by the name of Philip Keller this last week, an amazing book. Philip Keller was a shepherd who is a believer and talks a lot about the similarities between what it means to be a shepherd and the spiritual life, and specifically unpack Psalm 23. One of the things I learned when I was reading this is that there are some things that will cause a sheep to never be able to lie down, right? Because ultimately, what does this say? He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. This is about rest. Our king, our shepherd, wants us to have rest, wants us to find rest. But I think we all know this. There are things that will keep us from resting, aren't there? In the same way, there are things that will keep sheep from resting. I want to read you. There's four. Number one, they will not lie down if they're scared. They won't. Number two, if there's any kind of conflict between them and another sheep, they won't lie down. If they're tormented by insects and flies and ticks and any other kind of small nuisance, they won't lie down. Finally, if they are hungry, they will not lie down. In order to rest, a sheep must be free of all of these things. And here's what I need you to hear this morning. Only the shepherd can provide all of that. Only the shepherd can protect against some of those things. So number one, they can't rest if they're scared. And if you don't know this about sheep, sheep will run at the slightest hint of any type of danger. I mean, it could be like a rabbit that runs through the flock. If they think that there's danger, they will take off and they will run and they will be on edge and they will be anxious. Sheep are incredibly anxious. Does that not sound like humanity to you? Right? They're anxious. There's a reason that God uses this imagery of sheep and human beings and this analogy. And so what a great shepherd does is what a good shepherd does. A good shepherd is always ready to walk through his flock and make them feel like they are safe. He's got his rifle ready in case there is a predator that comes along. Or he's got his staff ready in case a predator comes along. He sleeps with one eye open. When he goes to sleep at night, man, he is listening intently to hear if there's any kind of disruption going on within the sheep. Why? Because he wants his sheep to lie down and rest. You know, for the Christian, there's no substitute, is there? There's no substitute for knowing that our shepherd is nearby and will subdue any danger that might come our way. That is That's peace. That's peace to be able to lay down and rest. They won't rest if they're scared. They won't rest if there's conflict with other sheep. All right, another fun sheep fact. Lots of sheep facts today. They do this thing called budding. They have a budding order. And what that means is the biggest, kind of oldest sheep, they will roll into the flock and they will assert their dominance over the other sheep. And they will do that by headbutting the other sheep. They will use their badonkadonk to slam them out of the way, right? And the bigger their badonkadonk is, the more power they have, the more they're able to enforce that, right? And so these sheep, what happens is all the other sheep are on edge all the time. If these sheep are allowed to kind of be in control and assert their dominance, right? There's this conflict of power going on, right? And I think, again, we all know this. Let's translate this over to us, right? We can't lie down and be content when we're constantly feeling the need to get ahead in life, to get our needs met, right? And I think we also know this. The less aggressive sheep, the ones that are just kind of content to just be, they don't need to be in power, they don't need to be in control, they don't need to be running the show, they're so much more relaxed and chill. They're like, whatever, go ahead, you can be in charge, you can get all the glory, you can be the head honcho, right? We know this. There's so much more contentness when we're not clamoring and trying to be in control. The shepherd's presence, here's what the shepherd's presence does. When the shepherd walks into that scenario, all the sheep are able to just go, okay, my shepherd's here. I don't have to fight to be seen. I don't have to be the one who's getting everything I want because I know my shepherd's going to provide for me. That's what Jesus does for us. Our pride can fall away. Our desire to have all the stuff that the world says we gotta have goes away. Because my shepherd's here. He's gonna take care of me. He's gonna provide for me. I don't need that. Right? And there's this moment then when we can rest. Right? We can't rest if we're scared. All of us know that. If you're fearful of something, you're anxious and worried about something, boy, it's hard to rest. If you are constantly searching for that next thing, whatever it is, money, power, cars, success, health, wealth, prosperity, whatever it is that we're trying to get, you can't rest if you're doing that, if you're after that stuff all the time. Third, he says, you can't rest if they're in constant torment from insects or other minutiae in life. Right? A shepherd takes great care to make sure that their flock isn't being tormented by those things. They will actually use different types of sprays. They will move them to different spots in the pasture in order to keep them away from these pesky insects. Right, again, I think we all know this. Life is filled with these little annoyances, isn't it? Just those little things that grind us from one moment to the next in our life. And then those things keep us from being at peace. I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. He says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. He says, I clothe the lilies of the field. I take care of the sparrows of the air. How much more will I take care of you? All those little things, Jesus invites us to give those to him. All those little annoyances and things that just consume our thoughts, our thought life. Give those over, he says, to me, your great and good shepherd, so that you can lie down, so that you can rest. Finally, sheep can't rest if they're hungry. Did you know that sheep will literally eat a field until it is barren? They will just keep on eating. They will consume and consume and consume. If the shepherd doesn't kind of move them around, if the shepherd doesn't tend to the soil and make sure that there's enough food and enough grass there for them to eat, they'll eat it all and it'll be gone. In the same way, in the same way that sheep can't rest if they're constantly searching for food, a person can't rest if they're always searching. And I've met so many people in this life who are just, they're searching. They're searching for something to fill them. They're searching for a food that will sustain them long term. If you know anything about the human body, and you've probably experienced this before, but there are certain foods that make you feel a lot more full than others, right? Protein, the more protein that you eat, the more your stomach is actually going to feel filled up. The more carbs you eat, the more hungry you're going to feel all the time. The more sugar, same thing, you eat, the more hungry you're going to feel all the time. What Jesus offers, what the Great Shepherd offers, is this filling of protein constantly, nonstop. He puts us inside of us a food that satisfies, unlike the food of this world that we chase after. And I think we all know this. It is never ending, isn't it? If we're not being filled up by Christ, the things that we're filling us up with, like it's just, okay, what's next? Yeah, I got filled for the moment, but now I got to get filled again and again and again. The shepherd offers us something here that sustains for all time. And it is stunning to me, truly, how many sheep, people, keep grazing in barren lands when the shepherd is offering this choicest of pasture lands for us to graze in. He goes on. He doesn't stop there, right? Not only does he make us lie down in these lush, beautiful, green pastures that fill to overflowing, he leads me beside quiet waters. He leads us to the cool, clean, living water, again, that will fill us. Early in the mornings, shepherds will often take their sheep out into the field as the dew is forming on the grass and allow those sheep to just chew on that grass. Did you know that sheep actually can go a long time without actually drinking from a stream of water as long as they have that dew to eat from that grass? Not only does the shepherd do that, though, the shepherd also takes the sheep to the clean flowing waters of the stream. Oftentimes what a shepherd will do is they'll have to make this trek from where the sheep are bedded down for the night to where that water is. While they're on their way there, though, here's what happens to a lot of sheep. They stop at the mud puddles because they're thirsty and they're ready for water. They don't allow the shepherd to get them to the clean water, the living water. They stop in these mosquito-infested mud holes, and they drink there. And if the shepherd does not move them on from there, keep them from drinking from that water, they end up becoming disease-ridden. They get all kinds of stomach and intestinal issues from drinking from this water that is just foul and impure. And I believe our shepherd longs to see his sheep quietly drinking from the fresh streams every single morning, just like a regular shepherd, a real shepherd would want his sheep to drink from the fresh water. I think about that imagery of just sheep in the morning, starting their day with the most essential thing that they need, water, right? All of us, right? We can't go very long, human beings, without water. It's essential to start our day drinking water. What happens if we don't do that? What happens if we get up in the morning and we skip that, right? We're dehydrated. It messes with our brain function. In the same way, this is what David is trying to describe here. Your morning time, your morning quiet time is so unbelievably important. In my house, in the mornings, there are two ways things can kind of go, if you will. We can start the morning incredibly frazzled, kids running around wild. I think of the movie Home Alone, and as they're waking up on that morning to get to the airport, and people are just running everywhere. They got up late. They're like, it's chaos. I think a lot of us start our mornings that way. We get up a little bit too late. We don't really give ourselves time to kind of center ourselves, right? When my morning starts like that, it is the whole rest of the day. Come on, I think we know this. It sets the tone for the entire rest of the day if you begin like that. If you begin in that frenetic, frazzled way. But when I start my day sitting in quiet with my Heavenly Father, with my shepherd, when I open His Word, I begin to read and I begin to drink in the Word of God, my whole day is, it's a totally different tone. It's a whole different start. I want to encourage you, church, go to the waters every morning. He says, come, I want to lead you to quiet waters, beside quiet waters. This is why we talk so regularly around here about being in the Word of God, about spending time in prayer. We have a, for those who are new, we got a lot of new folks coming to True North here. We have a Bible reading plan. It's on the YouVersion Bible app. You can go to our website and get instructions for how to sign up for that Bible reading plan. One chapter a day that we're doing as a church together. It's a 3-year plan we're working through together. I encourage you, join that Bible reading plan. Spend time in the Word every single morning. Center yourself in Him. You want to see your days begin to change, your anxiety levels begin to go down. You want to see yourself begin to get filled up with joy and a peace as you navigate the challenges of each day? This is where it starts, right here. This is what our shepherd is wanting to lead us into. I love this verse from Psalm 42:1. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Also the words of David. David says, like a deer, we are to pant after the Word of God. I love this. Side note, soul pants. My soul pants for you. I met my wife, Autumn. We began dating when I was 16 years old. Her little brother was 8 years old at the time. So I have pretty much gotten to watch him grow up, which is a really cool thing. But I remember one time in youth group, when he was a little bit older, we read this verse, or they read this verse, and when they got to that section, my soul pants for you, he as, I mean, just as innocent as could be said, what are soul pants? And I'll never forget that. It helped me remember this verse. Like, in my mind, here's what I think of. You remember MC Hammer? Remember those big parachute pants he wore, and he was like dancing all over the stage? Like, that's soul pants, right? That's what I'm talking about. Don't miss why I share that, though. Man, we need to get our soul pants on every single day. Put your soul pants on. Our soul should be panting and just desiring the Word of God. Why? Not because it's some thing that we have to do to check the box, because that's what good little Christians do. No, because we recognize when we're in it, there is a filling up inside of us that nothing else in this world can fill us with. If you hear nothing else from the message today, make that the thing that you walk out of here and just actively begin to do. No matter what, find a way to get up every single morning and begin by that stream in the quietness of it, and you will see your life transformed and changed. And then finally, for today, this is the last verse we're going to read. He says, He refreshes my soul. Ooh, doesn't that sound good? He refreshes my soul. Right? It is astonishing how prone sheep are to go astray. And when sheep go astray, something happens to them often. They become this word, it's a shepherding term called cast. And what that simply means is, a lot of times what will happen is a sheep will lay down. And if they lay there long enough, they will actually end up in a position on their side, or maybe even on their back, where they cannot get up from where they are laying. This is a term called cast, right? And if that happens, here's what the shepherd has to do. The shepherd has to find that sheep, and it has to find that sheep quickly. Because if the shepherd doesn't find the sheep quickly, there are a couple of things that can happen to that sheep, right? If it can't move, if it cannot get up, it is going to die. It is going to die from one of two things. Either a predator is going to come along and find it helpless and is going to devour it. Or what happens in a sheep, the way their biology is made up, is they actually begin to build up gases inside of them. And eventually, they die from essentially having too much gas inside of them. if the shepherd doesn't get there quickly, and it's not, it can be, if they're out in the hot sun, that process can actually happen within a few hours. At the very best, a few days. And so what does a shepherd do, man? They second they know one of those sheep is missing, immediately in their mind, that's what they're starting to think. Oh no, one of my sheep is out there. They're lost. They might be cast. They could be getting devoured by wolves right now. They could be on the verge of death. And so the shepherd chases after that sheep. And when they find the sheep, what do? I mean, they don't waste any time. They see it off in the distance. They start sprinting and running. They get to the sheep. And what do? They pick that sheep up as quickly as they can. If it's been there long enough, the sheep might not even be able to stand on its own at first. Shepherd will rub their legs, try to get the blood flowing and moving, right? Begin to try to help it walk until finally that sheep gets back to being healthy again. It can walk on its own. And then the shepherd knows that the sheep is safe. And as I've already mentioned multiple times, unfortunately, sheep are so dumb. There are some sheep, man, they are cast like every day. Like, how many times are we going to go through this? And every time, this is what a good shepherd does. He goes out, and he finds that sheep, and he picks it back up, and he gets it moving again. And every time he finds that sheep, he's excited that he found it. He's thankful that he found it, right? There's a very, very famous parable in Luke chapter 15 where Jesus talks about this. Right, we've heard music, songs, worship songs that talk about this, where Jesus is willing to leave the 99. The good shepherd will leave the 99 and will chase after that one, and he'll do it every single time, no matter how many times it takes to find that sheep. Jesus has the same concern and compassion for us that a good shepherd has for a lost and cast sheep. Right, I think we all know this. Sometimes, man, life puts us on our back, right? We cast sometimes. We're like, right? Legs are all flailing up in the air. God, I need put back on my feet here. And I can't do it myself. Jesus offers to do this over and over again. This is what he's saying. This is what the good shepherd does. He will find us. He will flip us back over, put us on our feet, and get us moving again. And at the end of the day, right, we all need this refreshment sometimes, don't we? We find ourselves cast, we find ourselves lost, and we need refreshed. I mean, think about your house, right? Maybe your house isn't like mine. Mine's like World War III with three boys, like footballs flying and slamming into walls and markers on the walls. And I mean, we just painted part of our house like 6 months ago, and I swear it needs painted again. But that's life, isn't it? I mean, that's life. Life is messy. We get dirty sometimes, right? And we need refreshed. I believe we need refreshed over and over and over again. We need that fresh coat of paint on a regular basis. This is what Jesus offers. And he does it. He offers it relentlessly over and over and over again. We are so prone to wander. And yet our shepherd is so willing to chase us down each time, to put us back on our feet and to refresh us. Now, I want to talk about a couple of things here real quick. How do we become cast? I think this is important. How do sheep become cast? Let's start there. Number one, sheep often get too comfortable. They get way too comfortable. An actual sheep will lay down. Sometimes they'll find this nice little soft bed of grass. Maybe there's even like a little kind of cutout for them to lay in. And they lay down there and they think, oh, I'm just going to be here for, I just need 10 minutes to rest. Eventually, that turns into an hour and then days. And they just lay there. And I think we're exactly the same, aren't we? Right? We get comfortable. Come on, we do. We get comfortable. We stop spending our quiet time with the Lord. We get comfortable in the life that we're living, and we forget that we've been called to do some things and be some things as disciples of Jesus. And so what does a good shepherd do? Constantly moves the sheep. So Sorry, guys, we're moving now. I'm not going to allow you to lay here, allow you to lay here and become cast because it's dangerous to you. So I'm going to keep moving you. That's what Jesus does to us. He does the same things. Sometimes I believe he makes us a little bit uncomfortable, allows some things to happen in our life, pushes us a little bit. If we read our Bible, we see that Jesus was not a guy who was okay with people being comfortable all the time. He brings great comfort, but that's not the same as allowing us to be comfortable. Right? He's pushing us, right? Because he wants those sheep to be healthy and thriving. Right? They become cast if they're too comfortable. They become cast if they have too much wool. Man, it's easy for them to get weighed down. And so the shepherd, here's what they have to do. They have to come along, and every once in a while, they got to shear those sheep. Because what happens with sheep wool is not only does it get so big that they literally can hardly move, but it also gets all matted down. It gets dirty. They're laying in their own manure, right? It's just this, the wool gets disgusting if it's not sheared and cut off every now and then. Right? Again, don't miss the illustration with us. Man, we get weighed down in this life with things, don't we? Maybe it's circumstances and things that have happened to us, things that we've maybe brought onto ourselves. But we need sheared. We need cleaned up. Otherwise, what ultimately happens is that dirt and that manure and that wool, I mean, we just end up on our sides, end up on our backs, and no chance. We don't have a chance. Finally, sometimes the sheep just become too fat. This is the truth. They eat too much, and they can't roll over. They end up on their side. They literally cannot roll over. And so what does the shepherd do? He's got to put them on a diet. He's got to discipline them. That's the translation, right? He's got to discipline those sheep. He's got to make them eat healthier things. He's got to make sure they take walks and get exercise, right? Why? Because he cares about his sheep, and he does not want them to be cast. Again, humans, I believe, are no different. And Jesus does the same for us. Scripture says that the Lord disciplines those that he loves. I say this to my children all the time, because sometimes disciplining your children is difficult when you have to take things away from them that you know they love. That's hard to do as a parent sometimes, because you love your children. But if you really love your children, you don't want them to continue to go down a path that's going to be destructive to them. So what do? You discipline them. Right? In our house, we try to eat fruits and vegetables and not eat too many sweets, and right? Because we don't want them to be unhealthy. We care about them. We want them to live a healthy life. Right? Jesus does the same for us. And I believe all three of those things, not allowing us to be too comfortable, shearing off the dirt and the junk that is weighing us down, and disciplining us, those are all ways that Jesus refreshes our soul. Don't miss that today. Refreshment doesn't just come from him leading us to those green pastures, which he does, leading us beside quiet waters, which he does. He refreshes through this disciplining in our life, reminding us, like, we need him. We need to follow him. He is our shepherd. He is the one we must be focused on. And so, as we close today, here's the application. Guys, there's a fence in a field. And on one side of that fence, there is lush, green, clean water, just food aplenty. There's the protection of a shepherd who is never going to let anything happen to you. He's going to protect you. He's going to protect your soul, your mind, your spirit. And then there's another side of the fence. And that side of the fence, man, there's barren patches of grass. And there's muddy holes of water, mosquito infested. And there is a shepherd who is calling us to his side of the fence. He is inviting us in to allow him to be our shepherd. I think about the shepherd's care versus truly what the world offers us. And it's heartbreaking to see so many choose that side of the fence. Jesus welcomes us, invites us into this. He's calling us into a place of complete surrender to him. Because ultimately, that's what it is. The sheep have to surrender to the shepherd in order to receive the benefits and the rewards that come with following the shepherd. Right? And the rewards are completely being cared for, given rest, lacking nothing, having our thirst quenched, having our soul refreshed over and over again. This is what the good shepherd does. And if for no other reason, here's why we should. I want to read to you from John chapter 10, 10 through 15. These are the words of Jesus himself, describing himself as the good shepherd. He says, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy." That's what the thief comes to do. "But I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd," he says. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd," he says, "though. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Let me say that again. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The price that was paid for you and me for his sheep was his blood on the cross. Did you know this? That when sheep are brought into a shepherd's field for the first time, the shepherd will take a knife and it will take that sheep's ear and it will lay it down on a table, something, a hard surface. And the shepherd will put his mark on the ear of that sheep. It's a brand, right? It's now marked from that point forward. If that sheep wanders off, everybody knows this sheep belongs to that shepherd. And the blood of Christ, this is what this does to us. This is what it does for us. His blood marks us. It says, I am his, you are his. And no matter how far away we wander off, he's going to come find us. We're going to be marked for life, and we're going to get to receive all the benefits that come with him being our shepherd. And so what I want for you today more than anything is for Jesus to be your shepherd. And so if you are maybe here today and you've never believed in Jesus, you've been literally on the fence maybe about this thing, right? I'm not sure about this whole Jesus thing. This is what I want you to hear today. There is a good shepherd who is calling you into his green pastures. And he desires to have a relationship with you. And even if you have been the dirtiest, smelliest, dumbest sheep on the planet up until this point, he loves you and he cares for you and he wants you to be part of his flock. He absolutely does. And for the church, for those of us who we've been marked already, and here's my encouragement to us. I think sometimes we get trapped into following other shepherds, and they're not good. Not all shepherds are good. Some shepherds, they don't care about their flock. Their flock is just left to their own devices. They're not feeding them. They're not caring for them. They're not protecting them. But Jesus will protect. Jesus will provide in every conceivable way. Church, we got to keep our eyes on our shepherd. We know who he is. We know what he's about. Don't get lured like one of those fence-hopping sheep into looking at what's on the other side of the fence. Stay in his green pastures today. Amen? Amen.